When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. As usual, my name is Alex Alcazaz, aka the Bear of Texas, and ladies and gentlemen, today I want to bring up yet another random subject in professional wrestling, most specifically from pro wrestling's past. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about the time where none other than Chuck Norris served as a special guest enforcer in the casket match between The Undertaker and Yokozuna. Wow, wow, wow. Now, in my case, had I been at my age 30 years old back in 1994 at that particular time, I would have thought that bringing in Chuck Norris as the special outside enforcer for that match would have been the best thing ever. And specifically what happened in the match, especially considering the fact that at one point in the match, Chuck Norris delivered an authentic Chuck Norris roundhouse kick to Jeff Jarrett, that would have totally made my night. I probably would have sat down and write a blog about it just the second I got home and got in front of a computer because I would have just been that amazed from it. Well. Now, based on basically the background, considering the fact that the 1994 Survivor Series took place in San Antonio, Texas, and from that time, in 1994, you know, Walker Texas Ranger had just started in August of 93, and Walker Texas Ranger was just continuing to rise up and up and up and was becoming one of the most popular shows on television during that time. So it was not only fitting for Chuck Norris to actually be the special guest enforcer because it was in Texas, but I thought that it was even better considering that Chuck Norris arrived there in his Walker Texas Ranger-like persona. He wore the hat, the jacket, you know, the uniform. I mean, Chuck Norris came into that particular event in the Walker Texas Ranger frame of mind, but also in the Chuck Norris frame of mind. Now we're kind of bringing up the Chuck Norris jokes, aren't we? Oh. Now, this particular event, now, I was not watching wrestling at the time because this took place, you know, in late 1994. So this was not long before I was, you know, I was less than 2 years old when this took place, and I'm sure I made a number of you feel old, especially my good buddies Mark Braverman and Ricky Litwinkiewicz, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem. Because those two fine gentlemen, I mean, they remember it very well because, you know, those dudes were in high school when this took place. I mean, if I remember correctly, Ricky must have been about 17 years old when this happened. So I would imagine that Ricky was pretty excited. And I'm sure Mark, you know, felt the exact same way. Now, I haven't spoken to Ricky directly about this particular moment in professional wrestling, but I know that I spoke to Mark about it, and Mark honestly felt that was the coolest thing to do. So, what can I say? So, going in the background of this match, now keep in mind, I mentioned this was a casket match, but the interesting part about this was round number two between Yokozuna and The Undertaker in a casket match. The first encounter took place earlier that year at the 1994 Royal Rumble. I gotta be honest with you, the rivalry between The Undertaker and Yokozuna, you know, back then, had I been a wrestling fan back then, I would have probably considered that one of the greatest rivalries in pro wrestling, not only for the year 1994, but one of the best rivalries in wrestling in the entire decade of the 1990s. So honestly, you know, that particular moment, because I've watched the footage, the matches. I mean, that one moment, I believe, you know, I think before, this was like after Survivor Series of 1993, when Undertaker and Yokozuna stood face to face, nose to nose, like that. I mean, everybody knew that this was the beginning of something. So the rivalry, you know, kind of takes place, and eventually it goes into a point where Yokozuna, you know, Yokozuna had no choice but to defend his title, because at the time he was still the WWF champion. So he had to go into the casket match with The Undertaker, and that took place, again, at the 1994 Royal Rumble. So Yokozuna ended up winning the match, but of course, he did not do it by himself, because there was a time in the match where Mr. Fuji, who of course, as we know, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Fuji, rest in peace, Yokozuna. As we know, Mr. Fuji called out all these, supposedly called out the troops, as they say in these internet sources. So then basically more than 10 villain wrestlers came out, attacked The Undertaker, and helped Yokozuna win the match. And I think as part of this thing that came out, like, there was something about The Undertaker's urn being damaged. So Undertaker, I think, tries to fight back, but again, it's like 10 guys on one. Well, you include Yokozuna and Mr. Fuji, that makes it 12. That makes it 12 on one. So Undertaker gets attacked. He gets, you know, shoved into the casket, and then Yokozuna wins. And then basically, because I remember I was on Peacock watching this match, you know, right before I was doing this episode. So then after it, you know, there's that mysterious little thing where The Undertaker, you know, basically opened his eyes and said, "No, this is not over." And then all of a sudden, Undertaker disappeared. So now, basically, now the way that the match ended, it was actually to write The Undertaker off of television, because The Undertaker had to actually take some time off because he had to recover from numerous injuries. I mean, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a reminder of just how brutal the world of professional wrestling is. Professional wrestling is extremely dangerous. So when all those people out there that like to make a mockery of professional wrestling, you honestly have absolutely no idea what pro wrestlers go to. And believe me, if you think pro wrestling is a joke, I dare you to try it out. You won't even last 30 seconds. Hell, you would not even last 10 seconds. Anyway, so The Undertaker disappears from television. So during that time, so then after that, Yokozuna kind of moves on, because again, this is the 1994 Royal Rumble. And what was interesting about the 1994 Royal Rumble is that Lex Luger and Bret the Hitman Hart actually both won the match. Because I think at one point, like, they both kind of fell out of the ring, and then they were both eliminated at the same time. And then I guess they just decided that that they would be the co-winners. So I was like, you know, back then I thought, okay, that's not too bad. I mean, two baby faces winning. I mean, okay, I guess that's not so bad. But I would, of course, at first I would have asked myself, but who's good? Is it going to be a triple threat match? Is it going to be Yokozuna versus Bret Hart versus Lex Luger? I mean, again, if I were a wrestling fan that was old enough to understand what's going on, like, during that time, had I been between the ages of 18 and my age right now, 30, the first thing I would have said, like, I'm gonna pretend this. Now, imagine I'm there with Mr. Braverman. And imagine Mr. Braverman is from Texas, just like me. And we were, and we're wrestling. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be from Texas, but if we were watching the pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden, you know, I pull out, you know, the home phone. I mean, we didn't have the smartphones back then, and we did have cell phones, but not the smartphones back then. I pick up the landline phone, and I call my buddy Mark Braverman up in New York, and I say, "So, should we call it? Are we going to see a triple threat match?" And he probably would have said, "Yeah, probably." But what ended up happening is that Yokozuna wrestled twice at WrestleMania, first against Lex Luger and then Bret Hart. And if I remember correctly, it was like, I think whoever went first was decided, I think, by a coin toss. And I remember Mr. Perfect was the referee when Lex Luger was wrestling Yokozuna. But, you know, we all know how that turned out. But, you know, but based on how that went, I would have said, if Luger had won the match, would then the match versus Bret Hart be Lex Luger versus Bret Hart for the title? And then, you know what, and because Yokozuna would have a rematch clause, you put Yokozuna in and make it a triple threat match then. You know, I don't know. A lot of things could have happened, but Bret Hart ended up beating Yokozuna later that night. And Roddy Piper was actually the special guest referee for that one. You know, and that once when Yokozuna was about to hit his signature bonsai drop, he actually fell off the rope and fell down, and I think in storyline, because remember Jim Cornette was one of Yokozuna's managers, because I think Yokozuna at that point was part of Camp Cornette. I remember Jim Cornette would later actually say, like, would later say that the fall was because of a concussion. after he sustained, because Lex Luger's signature move was that flying forearm. And then during that time, Lex Luger actually had a metal plate in his forearm because of an injury from a motorcycle accident. So I guess that was the case. So that particular moment, Yokozuna had lost the title, and then I think briefly after that, like, he had that on Monday Night Raw, he had that sumo match against Earthquake, but then not long after, you know, The Undertaker was basically, you know, all of a sudden, I think these clips and these vignettes started airing that The Undertaker was set to make his return. So that would have indicated that obviously if Undertaker is returning, then they're gonna reignite the feud between The Undertaker and Yokozuna. So basically, I think they called it the rebirth of the Undertaker. And I think, remember, as part of the storyline, when I think like Ted DiBiase claimed that he had the Undertaker, but it was not the real one; it was a phony. And then Paul Bearer claimed that he knew where the real one was, because I think as part of the story, they had all these people, like, you know, in storyline, these people claiming that the Undertaker was still alive, that they had seen him around somewhere. But whatever they were doing, they were obviously promoting the return of the Undertaker, so they were going to finish it off, you know, with Yokozuna, which led to another casket match, and this time it was at Survivor Series of 1994. That particular year, it was the rematch. All right. So, and then, obviously, Chuck Norris, again, as I mentioned, was in it. So, you know, with Chuck Norris, you know, being part of the event, I mean, part of me says it's not surprising because for so long at that point, Vince McMahon had basically brought in numerous celebrities to be part of not only WrestleMania, but to be part of the show overall. I mean, you know, Cyndi Lauper, Mr. T, Muhammad Ali, Lawrence Taylor. And at that point, how many celebrities have been involved in the WWF at that point? I mean, a lot. So for Vince McMahon to bring in Chuck Norris to serve as the special guest enforcer for this particular match was honestly a very, very good move. Excuse me. It was a very, very good move as far as business goes, and it worked out quite well. And of course, I'm sure that a lot of fans would have loved to see, you know, a roundhouse kick. Well, Since they did see the roundhouse, like, I'm sure Vince McMahon told himself, well, if we bring in Chuck Norris, we're gonna have to have him, you know, perform his vintage roundhouse kick. And of course, I'm sure Vince McMahon probably told some of the wrestlers, yeah, one of you guys are gonna take a roundhouse kick from Chuck Norris. Now, during that time, I would have felt that, you know, whoever would be on the receiving end of Chuck Norris's roundhouse kick, I would have felt that maybe it would seem logical that if it was Mr. Fuji and then Yokozuna, but maybe that would have worked out. But as far as I know, yeah, Jeff Jarrett was good, because wrestlers again tried to interfere. Now, in that match, Erwin R. Scheister, otherwise known as IRS, actually did successfully interfere, but Yokozuna still didn't get the job done. So all these wrestlers tried to, you know, interfere, and then, of course, like I said already, about three times already, Jeff Jarrett took the roundhouse kick, you know, and I remember how Chuck Norris was just, you know, standing near, like, right by the ring, you know, by the entranceway, with that look. I think his arms were crossed, and he was like, he had his eye, you know, he's keeping an eye out. So, man, I mean, at that time, you know, had I been there at the show, and then I see Jeff Jarrett, you know, take the roundhouse kick from Chuck Norris, I would have said, well, we got a little bit of Walker, Texas Ranger in professional wrestling, and that would have been the best thing ever. Because I'll be honest with y'all, Walker, Texas Rangers was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. When I was in France, you know, even here, when they showed the reruns on television, I watched it all the time. When I was 3 and 4 years old in France, I was watching Walker, Texas Ranger. I loved seeing Chuck Norris deliver those roundhouse kicks. I loved seeing Chuck Norris, you know, in those fight scenes. I just thought that Chuck Norris was the coolest guy on planet Earth. You know, I considered him just as, I mean, I basically said, well, you know what, I'll be honest with you. Because Zinedine Zidane, the soccer player, was my main hero. I always said, you know what, I would love to see Zinedine Zidane star on a show with Chuck Norris, and those two guys could be the biggest, the toughest SOBs on planet Earth today, baby. Anyway, so I thought that bringing in Chuck Norris, you know, for that particular thing was great, because, you know, again, the show, the event took place in San Antonio. So it took place in the state of Texas. Now, what if they made, had it been in Dallas, because the show Walker, Texas Ranger takes place in my hometown of Dallas-Fort Worth of the Metroplex. You know, had Survivor Series been in Dallas, that probably would have made it even better. But you know what? It was in Texas, so you know what? Still, you're promoting Walker, Texas Ranger, so at least it's in the state of Texas, so it made good sense. So again, you know, I would imagine, you know, obviously Vince, you know, to bring in Chuck Norris, you know, to serve as such an honorary special enforcer for this match, I would imagine that it cost the WWF a lot of money. But then again, you know, it was a business move, because if Chuck Norris was to be announced as the special guest enforcer, that would basically increase the buy rates, it would increase the ticket sales, it would increase, you know, it would do a lot of good for the WWF as far as its content. So it was basically a business investment with publicity, you know, public relations and publicity, that it would basically, down the road, it would work out well. So in Vince McMahon's case, it was a business investment. You bring in a celebrity, you know, to hype up, you know, to increase the revenue from ticket sales, from the pay-per-view buy rates and everything. So, and it worked. It totally worked. So it was just another brilliant move on Vince McMahon and the creative direction's way. So, because, you know, honestly, I would still say, you know, bring in Chuck Norris for that particular time, you know, for that match, because it was in Texas. It was the best thing ever. So, and, you know, and not long after, you know, more and more celebrities started getting involved with the pro wrestling business. And, you know, even to this day, it still takes place. You still see a lot of celebrities be involved with WWE. And that's, you know, and that's going to continue, you know, as long as professional wrestling is alive, it's going to continue. So, honestly, I feel that bringing in Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger, to be the special guest enforcer in the casket match between Yokozuna and The Undertaker, round two at Survivor Series, 1994, San Antonio, Texas, one of the best moves Vince McMahon ever did as a businessman and as a promoter. Job well done. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. And remember, if you know somebody that loves professional wrestling and they are looking for a very exciting and authentic pro wrestling podcast, then this show, Ringside Chaos, is the answer that they need. If you love professional wrestling, I assure you, Ringside Chaos is the show for you. Thank y'all very, very much, and y'all have a good day. See y'all next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.